Welcome, everyone, to Season 1, Episode 4 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for this program. We have a pretty interesting program coming up today. We have an interview with Nick Deonte, who is an historian, a TTM Autograph Collector, and runs baseballhappenings.net. And we speak with Nick about his TTM collecting of Negro League ball players when he was younger, and also what's going on with his very interesting website. But let's first talk about how you can reach me. You can reach me via email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. You can visit my website at www.ttmcast.com. I'm on Instagram under the same name. My podcast is now available on iTunes in Podbean, as well as Google Listen. So there's all sorts of places you can find me. In addition, I'm on Twitter at CastTTM. Let's get right to our first segment, which is Baker's Dozen. Baker's Dozen is kind of a brain dump of what's going on in the week of TTM, the things that I've seen and noticed. So I'll give you kind of a review of what's going on and some things that jumped out at me. First, I was at the Cranston, Rhode Island High School at the Cranston, Rhode Island Card Show yesterday. It's an annual show that they hold on Super Bowl weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Picked up a lot of nice stuff. Got some Patriots cards. Got three cards from my 1978 set that I've been collecting. And in addition, I got to get a few autographs. So I got to see Ernie DiGregorio, who is the was Rookie of the Year on the NBA in 1974. Played for the Celtics and the Buffalo Braves, and it was I had a nice talk with him. I got to meet with Johnny Busick. I got to meet with Craig Breslow, and I got to meet with Kevin Sachem, who played for the Celtics. So it was nice to sit down and speak with some of those athletes, and we'll be listening to those interviews in coming shows. A couple other things that we're interested in for this week. The 2018 Bowman Draft Autograph set cards have been released. Jumbo box, which guarantees three autographs, is a 200 card set and features all the top 2018 draftees that was released. Also very excited about this. The series one of Topps 2019 was released on the 30th. It is hobby boxes go for around $55 and jumbo boxes go for around $90. Looks like a great set this year, once again, by Topps, my favorites. And I'm interested to see what those. I haven't got a box yet, but that is coming. A couple other things that are going on in terms of TTM in regards to returns. Kind of a slow week this week. In terms of returns, I've been just getting one or two cards a day, so it hasn't been a great week for returns, but the quantity is not there, but the quality is really there in my mind. I got a 1974 Topps from Cookie Rojas from the Royals. I got a 1988 Flair from Lee Guterman. I got a 2018 Topps Heritage from Caleb Joseph that took forever. That was from back in May. I had sent that to him and got those back. The other two I got fairly quickly. In addition, I got four 8x10s back fairly quickly in returns. I got Mike Farrell from the MASH. He got a nice 8x10 from him, a nice MASH picture. I got two from Elliot Gould. I got one from Elliot Gould as Jack Geller when he was Monica and Ross's father and friends. I got a nice 8x10 from him. I got a nice picture from him from the MASH movie. He played Trapper John. I got a nice picture from him. And I got a nice picture yesterday from LeVar Burton as a Geordi LaForge from Star Trek Next Generation. I sent that back in October. That one just came in. The other ones really only took less than 2 weeks. Also, I got a couple of returns, but not signed. Fernando Valenzuela sent back a card. I had sent in no note or anything, just didn't sign it. And Tim McCarver had sent out a 78 for him to sign, but he didn't sign it, unfortunately. And he said that he charges $25 towards a donation or charity. So McCarver is looking for $25 per autograph. And we have, lastly, the Vern Rapp Minute. A couple people passed away this week. No known in sports, thankfully, but we had a couple of people from entertainment and pop culture. So James Ingram, the singer who was famous for singing Baby Come to Me. He was he passed away recently. And Julius Campbell, who played on the actual, was an actual member of the Remember the Titans team, the Virginia high school team that won the state championship back in 1971. He was a star defensive lineman for them, and he was 65. He was played by Woody Harris. I played him in the movie, so he passed away. And for our last segment, I had the pleasure of speaking with Nick Deonte, who is the creator of BaseballHappenings.net, a TTM collector, and an expert on Negro League players. So I hope you enjoy our interview. Joining us today on the TTM Cast Hotline is Nick Deonte. Nick is a prolific poster on Twitter. He has over 37,000 tweets on Examine Baseball at Examine Baseball on Twitter. He has a fantastic website, baseballhappeningsnet.com. And most importantly for us today, he is a TTM collector from way back in the 90s. He had a project that he was doing that was sending out mailing pictures and cards out to former Negro League players to get their autographs. And we're going to talk to Nick about his website. So welcome, Nick.
Welcome. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Jeff.
You're welcome, Nick. I just became familiar with your website last week, and I'll tell you, I don't know how I ever lived without it, because it is fabulous in terms of the content. I'm a baseball fanatic like most of us, and the stories that you have, every one of them is unbelievable in terms of interest in uniqueness and creativity. So I just want to applaud how you go about doing this website. How do you get these stories? Because they're all there, so unique and different.
Sure. I've spent a lot of time interviewing former and current Major League Baseball players, so there's a lot of information that I can pull from and interviews that I've had. And, you know, when things happen and I see a story, I have a lot to go back and reference and create the stories that are on the website. And I think what gives it a personal touch is that I'm helping to share the voices of these players and their rich baseball experiences. So that's one thing that I really enjoy about bringing to light with the website, Baseball Happenings.
One thing that I really like collecting TTMs is I like sending cards out to not necessarily the star players, but to kind of the role players and people that I was really a fan of as a kid. And I saw you had an article on Cookie Rojas, which he was one of my big favorites growing up, obviously because of the name. Little kid loves Cookie Rojas, so I was a big fan of Cookie Rojas, and it kind of inspired me to go find out if Cookie Rojas signs, and I saw that he does, so I'm actually sending out a card to Mr. Rojas today, and hopefully he'll sign it back. But that's one of the things I liked about your site, is you didn't focus on just the superstars.
Yeah, you know, I feel like a lot of those mid-tier or even the cup of coffee guys, they always have a story to tell, because there was a process and how they got there, and with the depth that's in the minor leagues, a lot of them had a long route to get to the major leagues, and they saw a lot of different players along the way. And I feel like those guys sometimes are more open to talking about their careers because they don't get asked about their careers as often as guys who maybe stayed in the game as coaches or managers afterwards and had a long association of the game, and they had the mic in their face daily. A lot of these guys, once their career was done, you know, they put it down, they grab a lunch pail like everybody else and got to work, and they don't often get to tell their stories. And, you know, by doing so, they have a lot of things that are unearthed because people never really took the time to ask them about their experiences and the guys that they played with or against.
Now, do you have a background in history? Because a lot of the stuff you do is so historically important, I think. And do you have a background in history, or are you just a fan?
You know, just a fan, and from a young age, from playing the game a lot through high school and playing through college. You know, I got to have a connection with the game on the playing side and playing with guys who eventually went on to play pro ball. you know, there was always that kind of historical link. But even growing up, I had older family members in the house that would, you know, school me on the players from their era, and did a lot of reading as a kid. And that helped me kept connected with the game. And now with the tremendous resources that are out there through the internet, all the wonderful books that are out, information is at our fingertips, and there's so much of it to go and get that, you know, it's really intriguing me, those stories that haven't been told or not told as loud, you know, in our current era of 24/7 news coverage.
You've really seemed to take into social media with all your posts on Twitter and your website, and I know you're on Facebook. Has social media really helped you gain a following?
You know, I think it's helped spread the word. And it's the current society that we live in. So I think this is just another tool to help get the word out, because it's not just about the web anymore. And what I really enjoyed about Twitter and Facebook, it's allowed me to connect with a lot of other people who really enjoy this side of the game and have very meaningful conversations. And it's cool knowing that there are people across the globe that share similar interests, and that, you know, if I could bring them something that taps into that, sites like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram have all been able to really open it up to people that, you know, are outside of my immediate area. So this has really been an awesome experience. And so many people are consuming through these mediums that, you know, you kind of have to be there.
You know, Nick also has a podcast on his baseballhappenings.net. Nick, why don't you just remind our listeners where they can find you online?
Yeah, sure. So the website is baseballhappenings.net, and the podcast, the Baseball Happenings podcast, is available on iTunes. You can search the Baseball Happenings podcast, and you can also find it on the Baseball Happenings website. And we're on the various social media networks. As you said earlier, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Examine Baseball. And if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's From the Stretch. So, you know, we're open to communicating with your listeners and baseball fans across the globe. So, you know, feel free to reach out.
Thanks. Well, why don't we jump right into TTM, because that's what the podcast is really focused on. And why don't you tell me a little about your TTM experience, you know, back in the 90s, and then we can talk about some of your things that you sent out to Negro League players and some of the experiences you had dealing with them.
Sure. So, you know, as many people my age, my era, grew up reading Beckett Baseball Card Magazine in the late 80s, early 90s, and there were articles every month about sending the players through the mail. And when I got some gumption, a little bit of money up, you know, late 80s, early 90s, I started writing the players. And it wasn't like a full-time thing, but it was more of a curiosity. Let me send it to, I'm here in New York City, let me send it out, you know, to somebody, my favorite player on the Mets or two. And it was cool when the first one came back. And, you know, when it did, it kind of opened the doors. And as they get a little older and you make a little money from jobs here or there, right, you can buy some baseball cards and some postage and send stuff out. And it was just cool after a while, coming home from school, something to look forward to, coming home to the mailbox. And I guess this was before players were, you know, had all these memorabilia deals, right? Even the current players were a bit more likely to respond than they were now. So it was very exciting as a kid to be able to come home and have something in the mailbox waiting. And sometimes it was more than just a card. They might have put it in their own photo or a letter. And that really even added further to the intrigue. And once I got hooked up with the Smalling's address list, this might have been like 1993 or so, then that really opened up the floodgates. And you could just look up players and mail out to them and start getting these great letters back from the old timers. And, you know, that's what kept me in the game.
Well, as a 53-year-old, I still get the thrill of the mail every day, and Sunday's my least favorite day because we don't have mail. But is there? Do you still have the cards that you sent out as a kid?
Yeah, I have a majority of them. They're in binders, and you know, a few are in boxes here, and I can go through them every now and then and think about some of the correspondence and, you know, the letters I have in a few books, and they're fun to read and have some interesting content in them as well. So I do have a majority of the collection.
Are you still collecting? Are you still sending cards out?
Sure, it's just not with the same frequency. I mean, I've kind of lost faith in the modern players. As a product reviewer for Topps, I review their products regularly for the baseballhappenings.net. And I realize from receiving their products, the players are spending a lot of time signing for the baseball card companies. And it makes me think if they're signing so many cards for Topps and the multitudes of releases that they put out annually, when do they really have time to go through their mail? And what's their incentive at this point? Because when they are home, there's a representative from Topps or Donruss or Panini, right, asking them to sign more. And after they have to watch video and work out and get to the park and prepare and then deal with the autograph seekers in and out of the stadium, the hotel, right? When do they really have time to sit down with their mail? And a lot of them just don't. And so I've kind of keeping up on the modern player and turned my focus to, the players that are still left in the 50s, 60s, 70s that are more open to having that exchange in the mail.
Do you have a list of people that you're going after still, or are you just kind of working off of what cards you currently have?
Yeah, I recently got a batch of some vintage 1960 Topps baseball cards, and I put aside about 20 the guys that I want to write to. So I got a little pile here, and once or twice a week when I can get an extra 20-30 minutes and write a letter or two, I shoot it in the mail, and it's something that'll keep me busy over the next month when I got a little bit of extra time, and I'm looking forward to the responses that come back.
Are you sending out handwritten letters as opposed to just typing them out, or?
Yeah, I always handwritten my letters. That's just a personal preference. I like to sit there and think about it for a minute and handwrite it. And, going back to even the old stuff I used to read, I think players do take more to a handwritten letter than a typed letter. It gives it a more personal feel, and I don't really want any of the players thinking they're getting a form letter.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I used to obviously write them out, but now I type it out. It just seems to be easier. I do type out personal letters to these guys because I don't use a form letter, but it just seems cleaner because they're not going to be able to read my writing, honestly.
Right.
So why don't you, I learned that you had a project going after the Negro League players back in the 90s, and you must have been doing this when you were a lot younger, correct? When you were a kid?
Yeah. So this probably took off right when I was in high school. It kind of coincided with the release of Ken Burns' baseball documentary. And after watching the segment with Buck O'Neill and speaking so eloquently of the Negro Leagues, and that timed actually with a lot of releases of books on the Negro Leagues, one being James Riley's Encyclopedia of the Negro Leagues, or Negro Leagues Encyclopedia. And that I listened to, like, everybody who played in the Negro Leagues. And right around that time, I remember that summer, there was a humongous Negro Leagues reunion in New Jersey. So I was able to get out to Secaucus and go to the reunion. I was able to get a few signatures, but I didn't have enough money for every single player that was there. Now, look, mind you, the time they were asking like $5 or $6 a head. So it was very affordable. It was just I didn't have $200-$300 on me to get everybody in the room. Still actually being on the internet at that time, I was very like early on to the internet. I found an address list. And so the guys that didn't play in the major leagues, that weren't in Smalling's book, I found a list of Negro Leaguers on the internet, which I think I actually still have in my like files. And I started writing letters, and there were actually like the early versions of what we called news groups back then, and people would share their TTM successes. And so people would have some information on the Negro Leagues and even who charged, $3 here, $5 there. So I started writing to the players and sending them the baseball cards and postcards that they had produced for the living guys. And you got back some really great letters. The guys would write some notes on the index cards or write you a full page letter back and say, here's my phone number, give me a call. And it was very exciting to get their story. And that's what really started to pique my deeper interest into the Negro Leagues.
Now, you know, most of our baseball fans know about Cool Papa Bell or Josh Gibson or Satchel Paige. But did you, when you got the cards back, did that instigate you to go and look and find out more about their careers or, you know?
Oh, definitely. Right. And I think that's what's been the bulk of my research and what I continue to do today with my writing. And it are all those other guys. And the Negro Leagues was full of talent. And it's evident from the players that came in after Jackie Robinson that, you know, made it to the major leagues. But even the guys that got to the minor leagues, you know, that were young enough to be able to do so. Very rich history. And a lot of the guys that were alive, like, yeah, I played in a league too, and I was good. And just because I wasn't, you know, your Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, Willie Mays, Monty Irvin type, Satchel Paige, it's like, yeah, I was there competing right alongside these guys. And these players were on their teams, right? They were in the Negro American or Negro National League. And so, you know, guys with story careers who just either were a little too early or got injured or decided like, hey, you know, I need to pursue something else because baseball's not paying the bills.
Did you have any chances to meet any of these players face-to-face? It's kind of after the fact, like, you know, you sent a card or a picture and then got to introduce yourself to them?
Yeah, so I got a chance to meet many of them later on. One that sticks out is Monty Irvin, who I had a chance to meet on multiple occasions, who might be like one of the nicest and most accommodating Hall of Famers ever. And so I had a chance to meet Monty. Minnie Mignot, so I had a chance to meet on a few occasions, again, which is awesome and excellent, a great storyteller, funny guy. And then I met a few years later, around like 96, they had another reunion, and a few of the guys that I corresponded with, I went to the show, and they, you know, they knew I was coming, and I had a chance to talk with them and meet them, and they had some really nice things to say, and you know, we traded letters back and forth. After a while, one that comes to mind is a guy named Nap Gully, he was a pitcher for the Indianapolis Clowns in the 1940s, and we just had some really good back and forth, and I have a few letters that he sent, and it was nice to be able to meet them in person.
Well, share one or two of your favorite stories of you know, the favorite people that you've met or something that was interesting when you met these guys or corresponded with these guys.
Now, are you talking about Negro Leagues, or are you talking about just in general of having, like, the...
I'm really interested in kind of, you know, the...
Sure, so another guy that played in the Negro Leagues that, you know, was alive during that time, the mid-late 90s, gave him his name was Charlie Byatt, B-I-O-T. He was an outfielder for the Baltimore Eli Giants, which he was a teammate, I think, of Roy Campanella's as well. And he was from Newark. And when I wrote him, he wrote me a letter back. And he's like, I lived at the same address for whatever, 78 years. And he ended the letters by saying, you know, your letter was better than, you know, hitting a home run with the bases loaded. And again, for a teenager, right, that was like a really, you know, excellent thing for someone to say that you don't really know except if you've spoken to them on the phone and traded a letter or two. So it was kind of evident that to many of these players that these letters were meaningful and that, you know, after their careers were literally dormant for 40, 50 years, that all of a sudden that people began to care again about their careers after literally having put them on the shelf for, you know, 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so you can get that sense from the correspondence that these men were happy to be remembered and finally get their due and be able to share their stories with a younger person like myself at the time.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by the whole Negro League experience. You know, in one instance it was sad, but in another instance it was great that they were able to highlight their talents and use their talents to play the game that they love. So it's nice to see that somebody like you and, you know, some of the younger people still care about the Negro League and care about what they were doing. So I'm sure they really were thrilled to get that attention again.
Yes, I think they were. And, you know, that's an era that can't be recaptured because, they're basically all gone. Most of the players that are living from that played in the Negro Leagues played after 1950, and that's after the league reduced teams and slowed up really into only one league as opposed to the American and National League. And so a lot of the guys, and those guys even are 86, 87, 88, 89. That's not to downplay their contributions because, you know, we still have Willie Mays who's still alive, right? And Mays played in 1948 when he was, you know, just out of, you know, a high school kid, right? And yeah. With the Birmingham Black Barons and, you know, he was in the Negro World Series. So, like, he was, you know, he's still part of that group. But, you know, you're talking about the guys that consistently played against Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige, Buck Leonard, Ray Dandridge, all these guys that are in the Hall of Fame, Martin Diego, the people who played in that era, they're all gone.
Right.
And so, you know, that interaction went with them, and the people that carry the stories with them, you know, are now no longer with us. So it's up to the people that did these interviews and that did the research to share the story, because these people aren't here any longer. But when they were alive, it was like a really cool window to be around, because there was a lot to be shared, and they were great about the corresponding through the mail.
Have you had a chance to display or exhibit your correspondence and the things that you got returned as a kid, or have you put it in a book form?
I am working on a book. However, I think the correspondence, some of them I've started to display on the website. So there are some posts throughout baseballhappenings.net that if you search for Negro Leagues, you'll see some posts of some of the correspondence that I've had over the time. And I look to expand on that this year to slowly leak some of the things out through the site, because I just think it's just like a really safe, easy, accessible way to share now at this point.
Now, what do you have anything else? What else do you have planned for the site in the coming year? Do you have anything that you...
I look to continue to expand the reviews for Topps, and we've gotten into doing some box breaks through our YouTube channel, which is also Examine Baseball. And just to continue with the interviews that we've done and some of the other outlets that I've partnered with. I write for the Baseball Hall of Fame's website, LaVitaBaseball.com, and I'm starting to do some writing for Mets Memorized Online. So there's going to be some exchanges back and forth, but just continue to bring out the depth of the interviews that I have going on and other events that I can go out and cover, and just try to bring people the things that your ESPNs of the world aren't covering, because I'm not really in competition with trying to stay with the day-to-day Major League Baseball stuff, but keep up with the other happenings that are around it. And that's where the title of the website came from.
Who are your top three guests that you want for 2019 that you haven't had a chance to interview yet?
For the podcast?
For the website or the podcast.
I guess I would love to talk to some of the guys that had come out of New York City to play in the major leagues. And obviously, like, I'm not going to get your, like, Whitey Fords or Sandy Koufax, right? Like, they're probably not that accessible, but I'd love to get guys like the Aspirante brothers, Bob and Ken. One was a major league manager, right? The other played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Like, I'd love to speak with them. And I've caught up with John Franco on a bunch of occasions, and he's always doing stuff here in New York. But I'd love to get those other New York City guys, Benny DiStefano, just talk about their experience about growing up in New York City, and then what they did to get to the major leagues, because it's relatable to someone like myself who went through it, and many other people who came up through the area and played through the various parks and local leagues and the public high schools here in the city, and then make their way up to the major leagues.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, when we first started, that's one thing that I – really loved about your site is that you really don't focus on, you know, the Reggie Jacksons and Rod Carews. You kind of go after these kind of second tier players, and I use that with all due respect, but you go after the lesser known players, because I was probably a top player in my day. So
yeah, you know, and they're accessible, and it's not to say that I wouldn't love to sit down and speak with Reggie or Rod Carew, and I actually had a chance to meet briefly with Rod during the 2017 All-Star Game. He's a very excellent man, and you know, he's doing well, recovering from the heart the surgery that he had. But you know, you can't sit around and wait for, you know, those big names to come to you, or if they're not going to speak, fine. There's so many other guys that play the game and have wonderful stories to tell. And if I can bring those out and bring them to the public, that's what we're here for.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for your time tonight or today. And why don't you tell all listeners where they can find you and how they can get a hold of you.
No, Jeff, I really enjoyed speaking with you and your listeners, and I hope that you continue to deliver these great stories about through the mail collecting and all the fun things that come with it. And like you said, that anticipation of getting to the mailbox and that rats, it's Sunday feeling, and then hoping, after we get that case of the Mondays, that we can come home to something cool in the mailbox. And so, I wish you continued success with the platform. And if people, again, want to reach out on Twitter or Instagram, it's at Examine Baseball. On Facebook, it's at From the Stretch. On the web, it's baseballhappenings.net. And if you like the visuals on YouTube, that's also Examine Baseball. So feel free to give us a shout or follow. We'll definitely look forward to hearing from your listeners.
That wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Collector. I'm Jeff Baker. I'd like to thank Nick Deonte for joining us today. I'd also like to thank you, the listeners. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, so we'll go Patriots. And as always, many happy returns.